Ramsey TV.
And just in case I haven't mentioned it lately, I have no confidence in flesh. Just in case nobody or somebody doesn't realize that or haven't said it lately, maybe. I can do all things, but only through Christ who strengthens me. And I am what I am by the grace of God, not because of marvelous independent decisions I have made. And it is God actually operating in me to will and to work for the sake of his delight. And I have nothing that I was not first given by God. Nothing. Nothing. Not a word, not a sentence. Nothing. So, and yet I work like hell to try to do a good job because I live in that beautiful bubble of ignorance where I don't know what God's next move is, and he's given me will, he's given me a desire. It's not free, i.e. he gave it to me. He gave me my decisions and everything, but I just want you to know that I don't step into this microphone ever confident that I will do a good show. You would think that after 1,700 shows, I would be on autopilot. Martin Zender, he just sits down and it just comes out of him like water. He doesn't even have to think about it. That's not the case. I never assume that any show is going to go well. In fact, when a show's over, I'm so relieved because I can't believe it happened again. I cannot believe that another good show came out. I'm so not expecting it. I so think that this show is going to be the one that completely sucks. This show is going to be the one that ends the entire thing. This show is going to be the one that, blows everything out of the water. But somehow, and I don't know exactly how it happens, and that's why I think that I have no confidence in flesh, because I know why it happens. It's God, but I know that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Okay, so I know that he could take it away at any time. It's his prerogative, not mine. I could wish to keep this, to hold it, but I know I can't do that because the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. So I never take anything for granted. I don't take you for granted. I don't take my abilities that God gave me for granted, because he could take them away. The same God that gave them to me could take them away. So I'm amazed at what this is, at what I do, at this whole thing. I'm amazed at it as you are. This is why I can go to watch my own shows and be edified, built up. I'm my favorite speaker. I really am. There's no other speaker I know that I'd rather listen to than me. You think this might be a strange saying coming from a guy with no confidence in the flesh. I think that proves I have no confidence in the flesh. Because I'm like a third party looking at my own life that is operating from the power of God. If I had confidence in flesh, I don't know. Somehow I think I wouldn't be able to say that. So, you know, you hear me say things like, I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar and I make sense for a living. It's all true, but it happens by the grace of God. It's just me having fun with God operating in me. I don't know. It seems very simple to me. But I just wanted you to know that this show is never on autopilot, ever. I never take it for granted, ever. Or I never take you for granted. And again, I'm totally amazed and relieved whenever I push this button off. I can't believe it happened again. I just can't believe it. And then I watch it to edit it, and it's like, gosh, that's got some... I mean, some shows are better than others, of course, but I listen to it and I go, that's pretty good. That will edify someone. Because what comes out of here is, as I've said on my blog, I'm a broken vessel out of whom the perfume of God comes. God, this perfume, like the woman who broke the vessel at his feet, and the perfume comes out. That's the only way the perfume of the Spirit can come out, through a broken vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. There you go. That the transcendence of the power may be of God and not of us. The transcendence of the power of this truth spoken and made alive and miraculously brought to you so that you can believe it. This is not out of me. Okay, this is not out of me. I have nothing that I haven't received from God. And I have this treasure in earthen vessels, the transcendence of the power. The transcendence of the power. It transcends human wisdom. It transcends human ideas. And somehow it transcends time and space. And it somehow gets to you through this miracle of technology. I don't know how it happens. I don't know anymore how this computer happens and how this transmission gets uploaded to YouTube. I just press certain buttons and I know what order to press them in. I've no more idea how that works than this works. No, actually, I have more idea of how this works because I know that it is the Spirit of God operating in me to will and to work for the sake of His delight. Philippians 2:13. So there's that. And as far as Jason's great video that I linked you to yesterday, Jesus didn't say, seek and you shall keep seeking. No, Jesus said, seek and you shall find. Finding is a great thing. I told you I was an effing finder, right? I find things. I think I used that qualifier in front of finder. Jesus did not say, you shall seek for the truth, and seeking for the truth shall set you free. No, instead he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we want to seek, yes, but we also want to find. And once we find, we don't keep seeking. There's no reason to keep seeking once you find it. You know, I've constantly opposed those who say that, well, we have to always give people a fair hearing. We have to listen to the false teaching. Like, once you realize that free will is a false teaching, you don't have to listen to people who are teaching free will. Well, you need to consider this guy. No, I don't. No, I don't. He's wrong. He teaches human independence from God. I don't owe this guy anything. I don't owe anything to anybody who opposes the truth that God has established us in. The salvation of all, God's sovereignty, that all is out of, through, and into Him. The meaning of death, the death of Christ. These things are foundational truths. And anyone teaching against them is wrong. Because we sought and we found, and you shall know the truth. And we do know the truth. The Spirit of God testifies together with our spirit that we are children of God. So, the truth will set you free. Now, it was a strange thing on Spirit Airlines. I have to continue this from yesterday, just briefly, very briefly here, and then I'm going to get into having the words of Aeonian life. Ooh, how dare you think that you have the words of Aeonian life? How dare you? How dare you? Spirit Airlines, they when I was on their flight coming on the way home, they brag about the quality of their air. Our air is the best quality on any airlines in the business. Yes, we circulate our air every 2 minutes, a complete recirculation of air. It contains all these nutrients and vitamins, whatever the hell their air contains. They're bragging about it on the speaker. We have the best air on any airlines. And then they proceed to force you to wear a mask and breathe your own poison. Yeah. Their air is so great that now you have to wear a mask to protect you from their wonderful air, and they force you to breathe CO2. And isn't this a strange thing that retarded leftists, sorry for the redundancy there, say that CO2 is the worst thing ever. CO2 is killing the planet. CO2 is the enemy. We must eliminate CO2. Carbon dioxide. It's killing everything, even though it makes stuff live. Even though the more carbon dioxide you have, the more plants you have, the more food you have, it's a wonderful thing. We need to up our CO2 levels, not decrease them. But the world's insane, led by leftists generally, and so we're trying to eliminate CO2 because it's evil. CO2 is evil. Evil, evil. But the same people, the leftists running the airlines, kowtowing to political correctness, trying to cater to the lowest common denominator. That's what all these mask social distancing things are. They're catering to the most fearful, most timid, most paranoid person. They're catering to that person. This person might come on the airplane trembling. Is your air quality the best that I can get? How many minutes does it take to circulate entirely to bring me a fresh batch of air? How many minutes does it take? 2? All right, that's pretty good because American takes 2.5. I think I'm going to fly this airline, but promise me you'll make me wear a mask so I can breathe my own CO2. Of course, we promise you that. We promise you. You're welcome here. Yeah, so because of these little chickens, we have to, the rest of us who are brave enough to want to live without wearing bubble wrap, don't tell me that you're doing me a favor by keeping me safe. I'll keep myself safe. If I want to jump off a mountain with a parachute, I'll do it. If I want to drive a race car 350 miles an hour, I'll do it. If I want to go outside and take my chances of catching some virus that's freaking extinct by now, I'll do it. So don't come off like you're protecting me. Oh, we're doing you this great favor. We're keeping you safe. Why don't you go F yourself? Then get out of my life. Then get out of my life. Keep yourself safe. And if somebody wants to wear bubble wrap, wear a hazmat suit, wear a mask, wear goggles, fine. Wear a hazmat suit, wear goggles, and then stay home, and then get your bubble wrap, and then don't leave the house. Fine. If that's what you want to do, fine. But the rest of us want to freaking live. How about that? Leave us the hell alone. So they make people breathe their own CO2. And I'm reading this article from The Dangers of Delivering Too Much Oxygen to the Patient from a site called Oxy, thebetteroxygenmask.com. Carbon dioxide, CO2, is a gas the body naturally produces as waste. We breathe in oxygen, which is O2, to fuel organs and tissues, and the end product is CO2. The balance between these two gases is required for a healthy body. However, when we rebreathe CO2, it can have harmful and sometimes dangerous effects on the body. When CO2 levels are elevated in the body, it is known as hypercapnia. Hypercapnia can occur for a number of reasons, one of which is rebreathing our own exhaled CO2. Rebreathing CO2 can lead to increased blood pressure, headaches, muscle twitches, rapid heart rate, chest pain, ow, confusion, oh, and fatigue. In extreme cases, if left untreated, hypercapnia can lead to organ damage. Ow, ooh, my organs hurt. Oh, God, I think they're damaged. And even have long-standing effects on the brain. You might become a leftist, in other words, and work for Spirit Airlines. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, well, everybody else is leaving me. I suppose you want to leave me too. Do you too want to leave? And they said, where else can we go? You have the words of aeonian life. The words of aeonian life. What did Jesus have? He had the gospel of the circumcision. They were words for aeonian life, for Israel to enter into the kingdom of God, the 1,000 years. And he had the words. And he passed the words to his 12 disciples. And they then went and passed the words of the evangel to other people. They went around all the cities of Israel. Do not go to a town of the nations. Jesus said, don't go to the house of the nations, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Herald the gospel. They had words of aeonian life. And as I've told you, when Peter knocks on your door and you answer the door and he says, my name's Peter. I'm a disciple of the great teacher, Jesus of Nazareth. I have words of aeonian life. Well, that's nice, but we gave it the office. Boom, slammed the door. Well, you just rejected words of aeonian life. Peter had words of aeonian life. That is the embracing, the grasping of his words, which were the words of his master, Jesus Christ, would bring you aeonian life. Yeah, it would advance you into the next eon. You wouldn't die. You will go into the next eon. You will be alive with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all your favorite prophets. Yeah, including Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, even Micah. I have all their trading cards. I once traded 2 Jonahs for a Micah. You know I did. Now, with this new gospel that came via the Apostle Paul, we have words of aeonian life. Now, this is very improbable because look at us. Look at us. Look at yourself in the mirror right now. Yeah, go ahead. Get in the mirror. Look at yourself and say, I have the words of aeonian life. And the words that I speak to other people is their hour of visitation. That's their hour of visitation. That's an incredibly important moment in their life because they're hearing the truth for the first time. If you present the gospel correctly, and to do that, you have to have a pattern of sound words. You have to be reading from a correctly translated scripture, and you have to know what the freaking evangel is. If you don't know what Paul's freaking evangel is, then you can't be an evangelist. I always say, crazy me, one of the first qualifications of an evangelist is to know the evangel. We've talked about that many times. Not going to get into that side trail here. So we pass along that word to people and they either believe it or they don't. That is, whoever are set for life aeonian will believe it. Whoever are not set for life aeonian won't believe it. Acts 14:38. So, and Paul says, our words go out and to those who are perishing, our words are words of death. they don't believe them and they die. To others, they're an odor of life for life. To the first group, they're an odor of death for death. The same words. We speak the words of the death of Christ, that he actually died for sins. He took care of our sins, not our free will. These are words of life to those who have aeonian life, for those who have been set for aeonian life. But for people who have not been chosen for aeonian life, they're words of death. The same words, right? The sun melts wax but hardens clay. The same sun does different things to different vessels. The sun's the same, but it has this different reaction to different vessels. Likewise, our words are the same to everybody. These people choke on it. They hate it. They never talk to us again. These other people go, oh my God, where have you been? That's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. Why didn't I run into you 20 years ago? So there's that. But look at us. Look at Jesus for one thing. As I always say, Jesus was an ugly Jew. Isaiah 53, there was nothing about him that would be attractive to us. God did it on purpose so that you would have to discern him spiritually. You couldn't get it from looking at him. You couldn't get it from his accent because he had a Nazareth accent. You think this accent started in Georgia or Alabama? No, it started in Nazareth. So he talked like that probably. So can you imagine? Yeah, and his looks were, well, left much to be desired. And then he sends out his faithful troop. The 12 apostles, who consist of fishermen, were very rough, very impolite, I would say. Not used to the manners of polite society, let us say. And so it was very difficult if you opened the door and saw Peter standing there, and he said, I've got the words of aeonian life. And you would say, yeah, sure. It took spiritual discernment. And everybody since then, it's never changed. The prophets never changed. They had words of life. I suppose you could say they had words of aeonian life and that their words were leading to Christ. Yeah, I would say that. But if you look at all the prophets, name me one prophet that wasn't a nut job. Yeah. I've reviewed these guys before. Isaiah prophesying naked. Hosea taking a wife of prostitution. Jeremiah weeping at the bottom of a well. Going into exile in shackles. Into Babylon. Not a great scene there on the 11 o'clock news. And Paul. People ask those who were following Paul's teaching, where's your leader? Well, our leader is in jail. Oh, you're... fearless leader, he's in jail. Yeah, he's being tried as a criminal in Rome. Some herald of aeonian life, eh? And yet, it pleases God. I'm reminded of Peter and John in Acts, who, when they were confronted by the Sanhedrin, they were amazed that these were plain, unlettered men, right? Plain and unlettered. No degree, no great reputation, and they looked like ruffians, because they were country people, they were working class, blue-collar dudes, and you would never suspect that these men had words of aeonian life. Words, if you listen to these words, and if you receive those words, then God's Spirit came into you. Oh, let's put it this way. No, it's not right. God's Spirit came into you, and then you believe the words. Yeah, Spirit comes first, then the belief comes next. But it comes... we know this from Romans, from the mouth of a herald. How can they hear? How can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear unless someone is sent? Unless someone announces. But how can anyone announce unless the announcer has been commissioned and sent by God? We have been commissioned and sent by God. No matter how unpopular this saying is, no matter how many people will disbelieve it, even some people watching this video that were unlettered and plain, it doesn't matter. We have words of aeonian life. Look at the track record. Look at how things have gone on from the beginning. The announcers of aeonian life, those who have words of aeonian life, are the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. They're the social outcasts. They're the offscouring of all things. They're pond scum. And yet, from that broken vessel, from that unattractive vessel comes the perfume of God's Spirit and the scent of God's Word. and the multi-dimensional diamond-like beauty of the words and what they mean and what they portend. And they are accurate words, and they are words tried in a fire 7 times and then passed on as holy scripture, written down by men under the inspiration of God. These are the words we have, and these are the words of Aeonian life.